God, you know all of our needs. You have given us eyes and ears and minds to think, so come now through the power of your Holy Spirit and enable us to comprehend your truths so that we may live faithfully in the world. Amen. So over the next 8 weeks, we will be journeying through a sermon series titled Summer at the Movies. We live in a world filled with screens and stories. Movies at their best have a way of pulling us out of our reality and transporting us into another world, sometimes temporarily, sometimes for a few minutes, sometimes for a couple of hours. I heard it was the 30th or the whatever, the 50th anniversary of Jaws, and the three-hour-long movie is on TV for 12 hours in a row, if you'd like to catch that. So that the movies helps us to see realities that normally would not be a part of our everyday realities. And they introduced us to different angles of things that sometimes may be difficult to see, and sometimes we maybe just for fun. I think that in many ways, movies work kind of like parables. Emily Dickinson said, "Tell the truth, but tell it slant." She said, "The truth must be dazzled gradually, or every person will be blind." And parables, and I think cinematic pictures just alike, often soften the blow of truths for us. They sneak past our defenses and help us to see what we would rather ignore. Like Jesus' story of the mustard seed or the prodigal son, I think that sometimes movies can help us to have a glimpse of the mystery of our connectedness, of the meaningful existence that we have with one another. Movies can help us, and the parables can help us to grasp God's will and our free will and the will of our neighbors and how they mingle in the ordinary stuff of life. And sometimes we get caught up in moments and we forget that the work of faith is not about abstract humanity being saved. It's all about each one of us. C.S. Lewis once suggested that it is your soul, even your body, and all that you are that was made for a high and holy purpose. He said that every fold increase of your individuality was devised from all eternity to fit God as a glove fits a hand. Which brings us to today's movie, which is titled Encanto. And I hope you have had a chance to see this beautiful movie from Disney. It's a vibrant and deeply moving animation that centers around a Colombian family that is marked both by trauma and miracle. And out of tragedy, they received a mysterious gift that blessed each family member with a unique ability, something that helps and sustains both their household and their community at large. But no good story comes without tension. Tension is the stuff that makes movies interesting. Tension is the stuff that makes the telenovelas last for decades and decades. And we know the plot, but we tune in just for the tension because it stirs up in us. So the tension comes in this story through Mirabel, who is a young woman, the one who with glasses and right in the middle, who seems to be ungifted. In a family where everyone else shines with supernatural talents, Mirabel is the one who wonders if she belongs. Her journey raises questions that echo perhaps some of our own questions. What if I don't measure up? What if I have no gift? What if the miracle somehow skipped me? And that's where we meet Paul in today's scriptures as well. Paul's letter to the Corinthians reminds us that the body of Christ is made up of many members, each one essential, each one gifted, each one beloved. So let's lean into this story. If we imagine Paul as a United Methodist preacher that goes from church to church, Corinth was his longest stay. He stayed there for 18 months, which was remarkable. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. It was a port city, and it was strategically, both militarily and economically. It helped the city to thrive. And sometime after Paul had established the church and he had moved on, he heard through the grapevine that some things were happening in Corinth that were not very nice. So he proceeds to write them a letter. As a good pastor, in an attempt to remedy the situation, he's offering them some ways to reorient themselves into a new reality. And Paul wrote as many as four letters. 1 Corinthians in our scriptures is the second letter that Paul wrote, and the scholars believe that the third letter was lost somewhere. I think that I can only imagine what he said for the people to say, you know, let's just keep this to ourselves, not share this with anybody else. And then the fourth letter is what is made up of most of 2 Corinthians. After the traditional greeting, Paul moves right in to tell the people of Corinth, in the name of Jesus, should be restored with the same mind and same purpose. Paul, in the opening chapters of his letter, offers a reminder to the people about the core things of faith. And he lays down a new foundation for them to build on, a foundation that points out, and he says in very pointed words, I did not come to you with high wisdom, and look at yourselves. None of you were that great. And yet, by the power of the Spirit, God is doing amazing things, and he transforms all of us. He uses words like out of that God makes the wisdom of the world seem foolish. And he reminds them that everything that we have, right thinking, right living, and a clean slate, and a fresh start, all the things comes to us from God through Jesus Christ. Paul is telling the people, don't be so in love with yourselves, with what you have and with what you know, to forget that you are who you are because of God's work in you. The call to patient humility is at the center of the text today, where he says there are different spiritual gifts but the same Spirit, there are different ministries and the same Lord, and there are different activities but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part gets glory, all parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and a part of each other. So I grew up in a family of singers. If you had a chance to scan the little QR code in the bulletin last week, you heard my dad singing. And we were a family of musicians, but singing was the gift that everybody else had. And I can carry a tune, but I can't really sing. And the rest of that family sings. Linda and the girls are a much better fit in my family when it comes to music than I am. They slide right in too. And we grew up as a singing family. My parents put us into a little group, and as young as if you could talk and sing, you would go in front of the church and sing, and the five of us were called the Little Seeds. And it was cute, they tell me. And I never enjoyed it. So I had to deal with the weight of feeling like an outsider in my family of birth. So I kind of relate to how Mirabelle felt in her struggles. There's nothing quite like feeling close enough to the light to feel its heat, but never its warmth. So in the movie, here is Mirabelle, a part of the family. She's showing up, she's serving, she's singing, she's loving, she's trying, but is still wondering, why not her? And I think that Paul speaks directly to this challenge in the wound that many of us carry. in families, in the workplace, even in the church. There are times when we start to believe the lie that if we aren't visibly gifted, if our gifts don't fit the mold that is expected of everybody else, then we must not matter or we must not belong. We believe the lie that if we are not a mirror image of one another, or if we can't live up to the expectations of others, we are not enough, and that we must somehow be broken. And that's why the body metaphor in 1 Corinthians 12 is so vital. Paul tells the people of Corinth and all of us that the eye can say to the hand, I have no need of you. Neither the head can say to the feet, I don't need you. The metaphor of the body works because we all understand that when we stub our little toe, the entire body suffers with it. It's a pain that you just don't know where it came from, but it will make you just crawl into yourself. In other words, the church isn't just a collection of people doing spiritual things. The church is a living body where every part, even the ones we overlook or misunderstand, all parts have a role, all parts have a purpose, a gift, and a place. There's a scene in the movie that captures this truth with Beauty and Grace. It happened late in the film after all the powers had, spoiler alerts, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. All of these movies, if you haven't watched them, we are giving spoilers through the sermon. So I hope you're okay with it. So towards the end of the movie, the miracle kind of goes away. The powers fade, the house is destroyed. The secrets have now surfaced. Everything that once held the family together has been stripped away, and all that remains is their shared story and the possibility of healing. And Abuela, who is the matriarch of the family, finally sees what fear had kept her from seeing for so long. That in an effort to preserve the miracle the family had received, she had unintentionally burdened her family with expectations that they couldn't fully carry. And in trying to honor the gift, she forgot that the people was the gift themselves. And they were who the gift was meant for. She had to see things differently to remember that her strength did not come from control or tradition, but from love. And the young Mirabelle Chu has to undergo a personal transformation. She doesn't just wait to be seen, she learns to see. She sees her grandmother not as a rigid protector of the family and of the past, but as someone who was shaped by trauma and by grief, doing the best that she could with what she had. And in the mutual recognition between the grandmother and the granddaughter, something holy and different begins to happen. They met by a river, the place where the family story began, and finally tell the truth to one another in love. And the grandmother names her failures, and the granddaughter claims her worth, and in their shared vulnerability, they begin to rebuild their lives together. So this is a good place for us to look at a clip.
Abuela, I can finally see. You lost your home. Lost everything. You suffered so much all alone. so it would never happen again. We were saved because of you. We were given a miracle because of you. We are a family because of you. And nothing could ever be broken that we can't fix together.
I asked my Pedro for help. Mira a ver. He sent me here.
This is a beautiful movie. If you have not seen, I highly encourage you to watch it. Friends, the gospel truth for all of us is this, that you are not forgotten, that you are not giftless, that you are not invisible to God. You are not and should never feel invisible in this community of faith. The miracle for all of us is not what we do, but who we are. The miracle is in what you bring, and it is yourself. We are formed by grace, gifted by the Spirit, and held together in the body of Christ. In order for us to belong, we don't need to shine. We don't need to do anything other than show up. We belong because God chose us to be a part of this great mosaic called the church. When we cry, we all cry together. When we rejoice together. And that is the beauty of being the body. That somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God brings all of us together under this one roof. Connected not by our similarities, but by our need for grace, our need for salvation. All things that we cannot do for ourselves, no matter how gifted we may think we are. No matter how smart we may be, no matter how wealthy, how educated, all of us have a similar need, and we all come to the foot of the same cross to have that need fulfilled. C.S. Lewis reminds us that it's not an abstraction called humanity that is to be saved. It is you, your soul, and in some sense, yet should be understood, even your body that was made for the high and holy place. All that you are, every fold and crease of your individuality was devised from an eternity to fit as a glove fits God's hand. And God has given each one of us as a gift to one another, a gift for us to grow together, to love together, and by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, to move ever and ever closer to the perfect image of Christ. So this week, may we let go of the pressure to prove ourselves. May we celebrate the gifts of others without comparing our own. And may we dare to believe what God already knows to be true. The miracle is you. The miracle is each one of us. And we come into this space to simply live and to allow God to transform us. Thanks be to God. Amen.